teaching an auditorium to is so deathly quiet that I can hear my stomach growl because I don't eat breakfast because I had a run-in with a Jimmy Dean sausage biscuit in 1999 in your office before
two Jimmy Dean references already. Good job.
That's a true story. Hey everyone, Jason Malone here. Welcome to the Jesus on Display podcast. Before we begin today's content, I wanted to say thanks for supporting us here at Fellowship Greenville with your gifts and your generosity. Because of your giving, we get to share resources like this podcast with you to help reach you wherever you are in your life with Jesus. If you'd like to support the ministry of Fellowship Greenville, you can head to fellowshipgreenville.org/give to get started. Thanks so much for your support, and we hope you enjoy today's episode.
Welcome, everybody, to the Jesus on Display podcast. It's great to see you today. It's great for you to see us.
Yeah, you don't see them, technically.
Well, today is a video podcast as well, because we heard such good feedback from the last one we did that it was such a privilege to see us on YouTube.
I think it's interesting that we flipped it around. Last time we were on video doing the podcast, I walked in a nice Under Armour golf polo, mm-hmm. and you walked in like you had just gotten out of bed.
I forgot that it was video.
Yeah, you were.
I didn't look that bad.
You were a little disheveled.
Today I look very classy.
Yeah,
and you look like a camp counselor. So
yeah, I did. I went with the Woodland staff T-shirt today.
Anyway, the Jesus on Display podcast has all kinds of good things. You can find podcasts about storytelling. Our friends Chandler and Johnny, they do occasional podcasts about certain movies and how those stories reflect the gospel, and you find out about some movies that you may have never seen. We have condensed sermons. We take a full sermon and bring it down to about 20-ish minutes.
Yep.
Long enough for a commute. We try to get these, you know, just right for the drive somewhere.
Yep.
And quarterly church updates, like this one is today. It's like a grab bag. It's a smorgasbord of things.
Have you wondered why we have not been invited in to talk about movies?
Probably. I haven't wondered it because I don't think as deeply about movies when I watch them. I don't go, what is the gospel narrative of this movie? I just fly right through it probably. So that's why.
I mainly go to two movies
a
year.
And you haven't seen a lot of movies. That's why.
Yeah. But I trust you. I've talked about this before. There's only a handful of people I trust to even go to.
If you were invited in to do one,
I would want
to
talk about What About Bob and how the gospel is there. It's one of the movies. I mean, Dr. Leo Marvin's a genius.
Indiana
There's a
Jones
lot going on
and
there.
And the Temple of Doom.
I wouldn't do that one.
Okay. Anyway.
Maybe Shawshank Redemption. Redemption's already in the title.
That's probably already one they're planning
on
doing. They love that
listed
movie.
The two movies that if they're on television.
You stop and watch them?
I'll stop and watch a little bit of it every time, even though I know exactly how it goes.
Yeah.
Like he does get out.
Of
Shawshank.
Prison.
Yeah, if you haven't seen
Spoiler
it.
Spoiler alert. Ruined it.
Yeah. He somehow gets to the ocean. And I think what that's telling us about Jesus and the gospel is, I got nothing. That's the reason we don't get invited in.
Redemption's in the title, and we still can't.
Make it happen.
Figure it out.
But when it comes to these quarterly updates, I think this is our sweet spot.
This is
Come
it.
In and talk about random stuff.
Make fun
try
of
to
each
tie
other,
it together. Make fun
tell
of everything.
Old stories.
That's exactly right.
This is it. Four times a year, that's all we're getting, probably.
Let's jump in to some of the things that they being the people who invite us in, and say, please talk about these things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's jump into what they want us to talk about. And the first thing is something that we've been talking about over the past several weeks, experiencing God. Yeah, you got it. Experiencing God. Talk a little bit about why this is Charlie's favorite book of all time. Evidently, it's Charlie's favorite book. It's the Bible, and then it's experiencing God.
I don't know if he said that,
okay.
But he has a very influential book in his life. Why is it that way?
Yeah.
I think because over 30 years of ministry, he's read it at crucial times where it's really shaped like his experience of what God is doing, especially in churches that he's been leading. So at different times when they're looking at expansion or does God want us to move into this or into that, it's just been really formative for his understanding of how God moves, how we join him in that, and just all the ways that the Spirit empowers and equips us. Man, I said that really well.
You did.
So,
especially since we didn't have it written down at all.
Woo!
Like you really got it.
I've got some espresso in me.
Yeah, you're doing
ready
great.
To roll now.
I've been encouraged at the number of people who've jumped in. And mm-hmm. they said, yeah, we're gonna be a part of doing Experience of God. And how many people had actually done it in the past? Because this book was written a while ago.
It's an updated edition.
It is an updated edition by his son, Richard. who has had a hand in crafting some things there. They redesigned the cover also, by the way. It looks did you notice? The old one. Do you remember the old one?
My staff team, they all rip off the cover immediately and throw it away because they don't like the texture of things.
They're
finicky in that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the cover, the artwork's nice.
It's nice, yeah. It's fine.
And we were meeting Zach Rigsby, the community group's pastor here. He and I were meeting with all the community group leaders having a dinner a couple of weeks ago. And we talked about the book and encouraging community groups to walk through the book together. And we said, show of hands, how many of you have actually read through Experiencing God before? And I bet it was like 80% of the people whose hand went up. And I thought that was really great.
And they're going to do it again.
They're going to do it again, and they're excited to do it again. And we've heard from many of them that it's also been very influential in their life. They remember the study. They put things into practice from the study from years gone by. So
it's almost like we can experience God more than one time. It's incredible.
It's really well said. That's really well said. Now, here's the reality. Even folks who aren't in community groups are taking us up on it and picking up the book, and they're reading through it, which I think is really great.
Yep.
But we have like over 90 community groups now. And there's over 1,000 adults in those community groups.
Correct. 1,000 mark.
We have. And all of them are doing it. All of us are doing it. And so I think that's really cool. That's a large, large percentage of our church praying and processing and thinking through some of the exact same things. Our ministry teams here on staff are actually getting together and talking about it as well. I've been getting together with the spiritual formation team, which I'm a part of. And every Monday for an hour or so, we're talking through a couple of chapters at a time. I'm learning more about the team as well, just like their own experience with God, if you will, their history, a little bit more of their grace story. And that's been encouraging to me also. I know you started it. I know we've talked a little bit about it. You're one of my good friends. We talk about things outside of just work things. What have you enjoyed so far about the book?
I'm a little early in it.
I'm done. Like, I already finished it.
No points, extra points.
Well.
But we...
maybe.
Yeah, I'm only a third of the way through.
Oh, yeah.
So... the reminder that we always need is that God is at work around you.
Yeah.
And you're sometimes more aware of it than other times. Yeah. And so I think that's just a big push of the book is like, hey, God is continually at work and he's inviting you into it. Will you be ready? Will you tune into it and step into those opportunities as he invites you in? So yeah, that's the foundational concept right at the beginning.
I made a note in my phone with every chapter, because what I like about it, at the end of every chapter, there's a summary of what you just read.
So is that all you've read, or you read the whole book?
No, I read the whole book, and then I wrote down the summary in my notes on my phone, and then I wrote down the questions, because I've been honest with the staff team and said, historically, when an author puts questions at the end of a chapter, I'm like, I just read it. I don't want to think about it more.
Yeah.
But because I knew we were going to be having conversations around all things Experiencing God for a season, I actually took the time, wrote down the questions, wanted to answer the questions. So when I get together with somebody over coffee or a meal or in community group or with spiritual formation team, boom, it's all right there. And I can remember what I wrote. And I went back to the introduction, and there were a couple of questions in the introduction. And one of the questions was, what would you like to see God do through a study of this book? And I thought that was really great.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote it down on two fronts, one for our church family and then one for me personally. And for the church family, I just wrote down that the Lord would continue to stir in our hearts what it means to live on mission by listening to the Spirit through the Word and like walking in obedience, because I really think that's the crux of the book, obviously, in Experiencing God.
Yeah.
I think that's happening for a lot of our folks at Fellowship Greenville. And if it's not happening for you at Fellowship Greenville, I'm praying that it would happen. And if it has been happening, it would continue to happen. And then for me personally, one of the things I jotted down was, I don't know if you know this or not, Matt, I'm 47.
Whew.
I'm going to be 48 in December.
Whoa.
I know. Been doing pastoral ministry for 25 years now, as have you. It's a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wrote down, in some ways, based on my age and where I am in life and ministry, it's kind of a halfway, I wrote down, it's a halfway review of how you, God, have led me in life and ministry. And I just want to be thoughtful about it and reflective and appreciative.
That's good.
So that's part of how I've kind of been processing it as I've been reading through it. Like, I know the Lord has things for us ahead. I've talked about my own wiring is that I'm not a great looker backer. My wife's great at looking back. I like to think more about the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so this book, by answering the questions, which is probably the reason I don't want to answer questions anyway, because I've already read it, I don't want to look back, is causing me to look back and answer some questions.
You think you're at halftime? It's done 25 years? already feel like an old grizzled veteran sometimes. You think 25 more years?
I got to be honest with you. My right eye is twitching a lot right now.
Yeah.
And it could be the caffeine. It could be the stress. It could be the lack of sleep. It could be the excitement of everything that's going on in life. You know, my daughter just going to college and whatnot. It could be a lot of different things.
My neck hurts right now. Just looking to the left at you a lot. Can I sit over there next time and just look straighter?
This actually is the premium. Yes. This is the premium seat, actually.
Figures you would get it.
Well, that and then also the right side, the right side of your face is your better side.
My side?
Yeah, yeah. Your left is
a little wonky over there.
A little wonky on the left. The right's looking
Got
great.
Bit by a dog.
I think the other thing they... Did you really?
Yeah. Is that where the scars are? Can you see them?
Oh, yeah. Tell the story.
It's like I was a young child, and the neighbor's dog...
this was the inner city of Detroit.
I thought it was a nice dog, and it decided to bite me in the face. And I stood up, and it was hanging from my face like that. And so I have just these little scars. I have like three down and one over. So, yeah. I'm okay, guys.
It wasn't.
I have a dog, and I'm doing fine.
It wasn't in the inner city of Detroit, was it?
Well, I lived in Detroit, but it wasn't like an inner city dog.
My in-laws also lived in Detroit, which is a whole other set of stories, probably for another podcast.
Yeah, when we get three removed off the track, that's probably when we need to stop and go back.
I will bring it
where
back.
Where we are right
I
now.
I will bring it back by saying this. I had a dog, Cocker Spaniel, when I was a kid. And that Cocker Spaniel was named Brandy.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we had to give Brandy away because Brandy bit a neighbor kid in the face. Not your face. Your face was
different
bitten.
Neighbor kid.
Your face was bitten, inner city Detroit.
Which is why you don't like dogs to this day.
It's not the main reason. I was attached to two different dogs. I had a wiener dog by the name of Pedro. It got run over.
You ever seen a wiener dog get run over?
Have you ever seen a wiener dog run over? It's very traumatic.
This is a joke he told for most
of
his life.
It's not a joke. It's actually a true story. I had a wiener dog named Pedro. It did get run over.
You ever seen a wiener dog get run over? He says that right after it.
I do. And then I also had a Cocker Spaniel named Brandy, and we had to get rid of both of our dogs. And so when the kids wanted one, I was like, no.
How about no? Number three.
I do come over to your house, though, sometimes, and your dog.
You don't like my dog.
I don't like your dog at
all. Yeah, it jumped on you.
It's a muscle with a face.
It is a big dog. Let's talk about our latest sermon series.
Wait, there was one other thing.
One other thing, everybody.
There's a devotional version available on our website and our app of All Things Experiencing God.
Okay.
And I did want everybody to know that.
Great.
Okay, on to what you're supposed to talk about. I got us off track a little bit.
We're in a new sermon series right now, and it's only 7 or 8 weeks long because it's about what the Spirit is saying to the seven churches in Revelation. So fill us in on that. We're halfway through.
I'm loving it. Yeah, it's a really... I love this series a lot. It's not the first time that I've had the opportunity to teach through the seven churches in my 25 years of pastoral ministry, but it's been fun being able to be a part of teaching through it with Charlie and with Jim. Offered you a Sunday, you declined, and that's probably not the time to talk about that. But so far, with the opener and then of Revelation 1, Charlie set the series up. I thought it was phenomenal, and then Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum and Thyatira. I'm not going to do all of them, but... It's been really great, and I hope it's been an encouragement to our folks. One of the things that we've tried to continually come back to is it wasn't just a message from Jesus to those churches at that point in time, although that's true. There's also something there for us today as the church, and so our desire to be able to draw that out, talk about it, contemplate it, think about it, not think that it was something written to some people a really long time ago has been a good thing, a challenging thing, honestly, to think through, because with most of the churches, it wasn't just, hey, hang in there, here's an encouraging word. There were some challenges, and here's some consequences if you don't listen in. And so,
Jason did an amazing job on Smyrna last Sunday about learning to suffer well, about developing a theology of suffering, because you're going to do that, whether you're intentional about it or not.
Yeah,
life's going to... like help you develop that?
Yeah.
Amazing. I would go back and listen to that whenever this podcast comes out. I can't imagine him doing better sermon. It's probably can't
you
do
think that's
sermon.
It? I should hang it up. It's that's been 25
the top
years.
One. He's up here. There's nowhere to go but down.
Talked about Polycarp, and then I said, thank you, I'm out.
Polycarp.
And just walked off.
That was really good. Really good.
And then I wanted to take a moment here, and it's not really in the notes. We're ad-libbing. I don't know if you guys have picked up on that.
We never do that.
can we just talk about what's happening here on Sundays right now? Because it's really crazy.
What's happening? Just full? In a really good way. Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of people, and we're super thankful for it. I think there's been 6-7 weeks consecutively of over 3,000 people between the three services that we have. And so what should we offer in a way of encouragement for people as we continue to grow a desire to make space? Because obviously Adams Mills coming. We're going to talk more about that in just a few moments, but that's a year away.
Yeah.
What could we offer as a word of encouragement?
Okay, if your last name begins A through K,
oh, this is interesting.
You're going to come on the first and third Sunday.
Right, and bring a casserole.
Right. And second, no, we can't do that. That
bring desserts work. If it's N through Z.
That's right. That would be awesome. What can we do? Mm-hmm. Well, first step is you probably want to arrive a little earlier, just knowing it's going to be a little fuller,
yep.
A little harder to park, a little get in, get the kids there, get in the room. Just takes a little while.
Now, let's hit pause there because we've said that. We've told people come a little
like
earlier.
You're about to attack me.
I'm not going to attack you.
Okay.
But I think that works fine for the 9 o'clock service because we got room.
Yeah.
The challenge right now is people are arriving early for the 11 o'clock service.
Yeah.
And there's still people in the parking lot or in the building
yes.
from the 9 o'clock service. And that flip over time, we just want y'all.
I have compassion for it.
We want all of y'all to know that we know.
We're sorry.
We're aware. Well, I don't know if we have to apologize for it. We can't help it that the Lord's bringing people here and they love hanging out. But
yeah.
What we could ask of some people that are here at the 9 o'clock and they're loving it so much is that when we wrap up the service, it's not that we don't want you to fellowship, but the sooner you leave, the sooner other people can get in for the 11 o'clock service.
After the 9 o'clock.
Right. Did I say that wrong?
I was just clarifying.
Yeah. After the 9 o'clock, yeah. That little 10:15 to 10:40 window, that's an important window.
Yep.
But what if people say, but I want to hang out. I want to talk. I want to fellowship.
I'm kind of on their side. I would say
get in a community group. We've got room for you.
Sister Martha comes up, you're like, can't talk now.
Go to brunch.
Got
to
get out.
Yeah, that's fair. I know there's a little bit of a tension there, but
it is.
We would love for you, some of you to consider.
We're doing our best to try to get the service out on time because we know that.
I feel like you're getting ready to attack me. Go ahead. I brought it back.
Take turns attacking. Take turns. Mm-hmm. No, not at all. I'm just letting them know we're trying and we're aware of that. But you also don't want to be a robot church. It's like, we're done at 10 after no matter what.
We're definitely not robot church.
Find the flexible balance there.
We're talking to the DOT. I just love being able to say that.
We have conversations. Department of Transportation.
Do you know that we have conversations with the DOT? Josh Amos is on a first-name basis with the DOT.
It's about stoplight length. Like, it's really not that amazing. I sent them email earlier in the year, got a response that day, and they changed the green arrow on Woodruff Road for me the next day.
You're communicating with the DOT?
Me. Anyone can as a citizen. I pay taxes. They work for me.
Are you serious?
Yes, of course.
Who's the guy over there you've been talking to? I'd like to reach
Jimmy
out.
Jimmy Dean is his name.
I don't believe that.
They changed the arrow for you?
They did.
I noticed the next day it was longer.
Do you think they would work with me, like Woodruff Road traffic, Monday through Friday?
You can always ask. Always send a...
That Five Forks light's killer.
Right. Send a
right there by the Publix.
You know what I'm talking about? BillyGeneKing@DOT.
And use your name. My friend Matt at Fellowship Greenville said that you've been making some arrows.
So Josh Amos and Matt Rexford told me to write you and see what happens.
I don't know how much of what he's talking about is true, but I do know. I do actually believe you.
Have we given any practical wisdom for the...
The practical wisdom
was... The fullness of the mornings?
Yeah, the practical wisdom was continue to come early so you can get things checked in.
Be patient.
We're doing our part to get the services out in enough time because there's a little bit of a switch over there. I also think that we talk about the 5 p.m. service.
Yes.
There's room at the 5 p.m. And a lot of people have taken advantage of the 5 because they're tired of messing, this is a strong word. They don't want to deal with the crowds of the 9 and the 11. They're like, I'm going to easy in, easy out in the evenings. And so they've been coming to the 5 p.m. So that's available to all of you, which I've really been enjoying, by the way. I've been enjoying the 5 p.m. I'm thankful for the folks that have been a part of it. We do have people from our community that are utilizing it. And then we have people who are not coming on Sunday morning. So we'll give up our seat on Sunday morning. And they're coming on Sunday night. And I'm thankful for both groups, for both groups of people. And I'm thankful good for people. You, and I'm thankful for Johnny and your worship teams that are doing a phenomenal job, and the tech team. So you can come to the 5 o'clock if you're interested in that, as far as space and everything goes. And FG Kids is up and going, and all of that. Mm-hmm. So that's still available to you as well if you want to give the old if you want to give.
And
the
as
old
we come minute. Up with other small solutions, we'll let you know in the next year as we wait on Adam's Mill.
What if we also encouraged them that when they do come into the worship service, if they would just go ahead?
That's great.
Are you tired?
I mean, if you had all the answers, why don't you just say them earlier?
I was just thinking about
throwing it over to me, who didn't have any of the answers.
I think we just need you to go ahead and
scoot in
a little bit.
That's
so people
fine.
Can get.
I have. I'm a 25-year-old grizzled veteran.
Yeah.
The number of times I've asked people to scoot in and they go, "No, I'm not going to do it," or they just smile at you, but nobody moves. That's all I'm. You know, I'm just saying. They don't do it. They don't do it for me.
That was actually one of the issues with the Church of Pergamum.
They wouldn't scoot in.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. It's not in the Bible. Thanks. I appreciate that.
But I have this against you.
I have this against you. You won't scoot in when the worship pastor asks you to.
To make room.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So that'd be another thing that you could do. Slide over so we're creating space for.
All right. Sounds like Jason has a 7-point comprehensive plan that he's not sharing with me or anyone else. And when he rolls it out, we'll know what to do.
Matt, I recently taught in Auditorium 2. Auditorium 2 is pretty interesting. It's different the way that the sound works in there.
It's perfectly sound-treated, built from scratch.
It is perfectly sound-treated.
Which means?
I've had some conversations internally, and we're going to take it public now,
okay,
that while I love the people of Auditorium 2, teaching in Auditorium 2 is so deathly quiet that I can hear my stomach growl because I don't eat breakfast because I had a run-in with a Jimmy Dean sausage biscuit in 1999 in your office before
two Jimmy
teaching.
Dean references already. Good job.
That's a true story. And I haven't eaten breakfast since 1999 because I got sick on Jimmy Dean before walking on to the stage.
You haven't eaten before talking since
Correct.
1999.
Exactly.
Right.
And so all of that to say, my stomach will be growling. I go, everyone can hear that because it's so... Mm-hmm. Acoustically
right.
Well done.
So on certain Sundays, like last Sunday, there can be a baby crying, which we understand that babies.
That's what
do
I've
that.
Learned. It's not just me. It's not just me. It's right. that you hear any other noise in the room.
Yep.
Now, I don't mind children at all because I believe that then,
well, that's good to know.
Yeah, well, yeah. In the service. I want people to keep bringing their children. I'm all for it. But there were other noises going on in the room.
Yeah.
At a pretty... astonishing.
List off some of the things you heard. Ready? Rapid fire.
Well, there was a competition of coughing.
Okay.
There was more of a dry hacking cough.
Yeah.
Accompanied by a pretty...
juicy.
Can I say phlegmy? A pretty phlegmy cough. And I felt bad for both of them.
They were doing a congregational reading back and forth?
Usually when I had a dramatic pause in my sermon is when the cough
would
come out. Yeah.
What else did you hear?
There was someone who struggled to get into a candy wrapper for a good 12 minutes.
That was very secure, that candy. Mm.
Someone, and it wasn't the same person, interestingly enough. Their blood sugar got a little low.
Okay.
And so their alarm beeped. Now, he came up afterwards. I'm friends with him. And he goes, by the way, that was my alarm that was going off. That was beeping. I said, thank you so much.
So he had a ham sandwich in his bag.
100%. Yep. And then someone was getting coffee.
It's coffee in
the
room.
Back, and they were tilting the thing back to get the last of the coffee.
Yeah.
It slid a little bit. And so if you all are wondering when all of that's happening as I'm teaching, is Jason aware of all of that? I just want you to know that I am. Yeah. I hear every piece of it.
My brain is laser focused on what I'm saying. I have a proposal. What if in Auditorium 2 we made it like the super interactive like auditorium, like as you're preaching, like everybody's just like, yes.
Oh, they're
Amen.
Hollering stuff out.
Yes. They're just like really, really talking back and like just really an energetic feel, and that way it might cover up some of that. Do you think
some
that's a good idea or a bad idea?
I think it's a great idea. I don't mind that idea at all. I just want to reiterate again, I love the people of Auditorium 2. Mm-hmm. We've just had some conversations about how different it is, the auditoriums as far as the sound goes.
But get into the candy quickly. Just open it.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Hey, we do want to give you a little bit of the latest news on all things Adam's Mill. We're going to be talking about it more, obviously, in the weeks to come, because what we're doing is this series that we've been in, 7, what the Spirit is saying to the churches will be followed up with a 5-week series entitled What is the Spirit Saying to Us here at Fellowship Greenville as we move into this season of expansion and as we head to Adams Mill, which we're really excited about. There are a couple of pieces that are a part of what we're going to be doing with that 5-week series, What the Spirit is Saying to Us. And one of those pieces, Matt, is this opportunity for all of us to join together that are part of Fellowship Greenville and pray together. Can you talk a little bit about that?
We are going to have 40 days of prayer.
40 days of prayer.
To be specific.
Yeah.
I think it starts in mid-October. I can't remember the exact date.
Yep.
But we are going to have a concerted effort for us all to join together. Some kind of calendar, I'm guessing, where we have things on each day that we are specifically focusing on so we can really devote that time to prayer, to seeking the Lord, and to finding out what he's saying to us. That's the big push of it.
Yep. And I've already read through what has been developed by one of our wonderful volunteers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Again, you know everything, and you're asking me the question. So share what you know about it.
Wow.
Instead of putting me on the spot. How about that?
I've read through what's been
developed. Who's our volunteer? What's the...
Laurel?
Yes, Laurel Moody.
She's done a wonderful job with that. Super thankful for her. And her and her team, they're praying all the time around here.
Yes.
I'll see them on a Sunday morning, just walking. They're walking the parking lot. They're walking parts of the building. And they're praying. They found me before in a hallway as I'm going to do something else. Can we pray for you about something? It's like, yeah, absolutely. And so that's been
they have a
really
cool ministry.
Thing. Yeah, very cool ministry. But she's been a part of putting together the 40 days of prayer. And so, yeah, it's middle of October. It'll be coming out for everybody. They'll be able to follow along and be a part of it. And I just think it's another unifying opportunity for our church family. So as a matter of fact, you can learn more of her story. That's available to watch within the description of this podcast right here.
Right down below.
Is that you think that actually worked when you did that?
Put it up? Yeah, I think that pointed people right to it.
Some people have been asking about construction. When does construction begin?
Construction, here we go.
And it will begin in earnest in the new year. What do you think that means in earnest?
In all sincerity, in all realness.
Yeah.
That's what I think it means.
Here in the fall, the Y has moved out of the facility, still using the fields as they need to, but they're out of the facility itself, the building.
We've taken over possession of the pool.
You and I have been going and swimming.
We run senior aerobics every day at 4 p.m.
That is not true.
Yeah.
They're in there right now. They're already doing some stuff.
Moving some girders.
They're taking samples. They got to go in and do samples.
Soil samples?
I don't know if it's soil, but it's like, let's remove this part of the floor and see what it means for the rest of the floor. Yeah. And obviously, that's why they're not asking us much about that.
I was in a meeting the other day. We had construction, we had architects, we had electricians, we had a civil engineer, and we had some normal people like me. I'm not great at reading plans. I'll tell you that right now.
Thanks for putting it out there.
So I was looking at a certain part that related to me, and I was like, how does this green room go out to here? And like five people in unison said, it's a ramp. Like they all knew, obviously it was a ramp, and they all said it together like, it's a ramp, and they might as well put idiot like
you
at the
idiot.
End of it. It's a ramp, idiot. And so that's
and
how
that's
I do
question.
In those meetings.
That's the last question you asked?
Well, they're fine. I like to provide some comedic humor in those
meetings. It's a great team. I'm super thankful for them.
Absolutely.
Everyone's
doing their part of what they're good at.
They being the people who live in the world of construction and design, they've got their own lingo, and they're telling some jokes that they get. That we don't get. And we're just kind of sitting there, and I think that's how Johnny feels when a lot of us talk about sports. I mean, yeah. I did what you're talking about, right?
He's trying to watch some football this year.
So it's going to be in the new year that you really begin. If you're driving by, you're seeing some things, dirt being moved, things happening. Have you gotten your hard hat yet?
I didn't know. Do I get one?
If you're asking those kinds of questions about that's a ramp, then you probably don't get one.
Yeah.
I've asked for a cowboy hard hat. I'm pretty excited about it. Maybe I'll wear it next time.
Speaking of construction.
Yeah.
I know we're getting late. This is a long commute all of a sudden. I'd like to give a kitchen update.
For sure.
We now have cabinets in. We have some countertops. It's a big week. It's a big week going here. There's the hardwood floors are almost done. And the very last thing, like a couple weeks, they give you your sink back, which I think is kind of backwards. But we've been without a sink for a good month.
Yeah.
You're washing forks like in the bathroom. You're just like, so I'm ready for the sink to come back. Thanks everybody for asking. I know you've all been really, really wondering.
How many people had you over for dinner? You asked last time we were on the podcast.
I didn't ask. I did not ask.
You said, should you ask? And I was like, I can't believe you're asking.
I didn't ask. I just said, yeah, anyway.
Okay, that's totally
fine. A few. I got to meet a few wonderful people.
I love that. I also wanted to mention really quickly in regards to Adams Mill, coming up pretty soon, all of you are going to have access to a quick tour of the facility. Hmm. We're going to get in there really the before so that we have an appreciation for the after.
Cool.
We'll walk around there. I think you are a part of that with me. I need to get your hard hat.
There's no construction.
That's not the part of the hard hat. You just want to be able to walk around with a hard hat, and you walk on a construction site and you have a hard hat. They go, that's somebody with a hard hat.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, let's get everybody out of here on some next steps. And those next steps would be, one, pick up a copy of Experiencing God if you haven't already.
Do it.
You can do that yourself, because I think we've given out all the copies that we have here. I mean, it was hundreds of copies that we were able to get.
There's a few copies in the church office
today. Left? Okay, yeah. Stop by the church office. There's a handful of copies left if you'd like to pick one up. Also, we want to remind you that our church app is available, and I think it'll continue to give you valuable resources throughout your week. Not just an overview of the weekend and what we do on Sundays, although it does a phenomenal job of that. Incredibly interactive. Our team behind the scenes working so hard to put content on there that is for you to engage you.
It's not just for sermon notes. 24/7.
Never was. 24/7.
I did notice the other day as I pulled up the sermon, it had like different people at the bottom who wrote their big takeaways or a little summary. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yep. I thought that was
interactive.
Cool as well.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, give them the final invite. We'll get them out of here right on time. We're supposed to go between 30 and 35 minutes. And now we're 31.
Pretty good. Yeah. Continue to ask God how he might be using you during the Adams Mill expansion, whether that's through giving, through prayer, through planning to serve at that location when it's ready. We all are in a season of prayer and asking and preparing towards that. So continue to join us in that.
And with the 40 days of prayer, it's going to be available online in our app. We're going to have a little booklet for you if you'd like to have that as well.
Starting October 15th.
Starting October the 15th.
I just
saw
that.
You said middle of October, and there it was. You were
exactly
right.
Middle, right there.
Matt, people have been asking, Jingle Jazz, are we doing it? Because you took last year off from Jingle Jazz. Are we doing Jingle Jazz, and when will it be? Do we know?
We are going to do Jingle Jazz this year. We're preparing to do Jingle Jazz. I've already been thinking and humming some Christmas tunes. If you want to put it on your calendar.
I do.
It will be December 8 and 9. That's a Friday, two shows on a Saturday. That's all I'm going to tell you right now. Look for details coming up.
It's right before my birthday, so I think I can make it.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. And then lastly but not leastly, it's not too early to be thinking about Christmas with Jingle Jazz, but also Christmas Eve. Did you know this year Christmas Eve is actually on a Sunday? You know there are some people that are super well-planned right now. Like they're looking ahead, they're looking at the calendar, and they're going, I wonder what's going to happen on Christmas Eve. I'll tell you what's going to happen on Christmas Eve.
I have friends like that. What's going to happen?
We're going to have a 1 p.m., a 3 p.m., and a 5 p.m. on Sunday, on Christmas Eve.
Sunday the 24th.
That's right.
We're not going to have morning services.
No, we're going to do afternoon services.
That's right.
Three of them. And we just know that a lot of you use Christmas Eve. There's in regards to like family tradition and whatnot. And so we'll keep it right there, and we're really looking forward to that as well. Matt, this was great. Before we began today, you said you were a little tired. But I thought you really brought it.
I got a little espresso.
Your intro was weak. I didn't feel like it had a lot of zip.
I felt like I had a nice energy to it.
It built. When you got
this probably grew on me.
Part about the dog biting your face, it took a good turn. good turn. Not that we would recommend it. But
well, I thought you were excellent as always, and thanks for being here.
Be safe out there on the roads if you're driving and listening today. If you're just having a great time doing something else, good for you. Godspeed. We'll see you soon. Later.
Godspeed. Don't speed.
Don't speed.
God can speed.
The Jesus on Display podcast is produced right here at Fellowship Greenville in Greenville, South Carolina. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Follow and share this podcast with anyone who might be interested or curious about our church community or how storytelling unites us and helps us feel more connected. To actively keep up with what's going on at our church, head to our website at fellowshipgreenville.org Follow us on all social media platforms and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thanks so much for tuning in. Grace and peace to you for your week. We'll see you next time.